WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. We're concluding our two-day series in which we've been asking, when and how should the U.S. get out of Iraq? Our guests include military leaders, prominent Iraqis, policy analysts, and journalists. Our next guest, Carl Canetta, is the co-director of the Project on Defense Alternatives. Before that, he was a research fellow at the Institute for Defense and Disarmament Studies and edited its journal, Defense and Disarmament Alternatives. Carl Canetta, welcome to Fresh Air. Let's start with where you stood on the question of invading Iraq. Were you for it or against it?
From the beginning, I thought that the invasion was unnecessary from a security perspective, unwise from a strategic perspective, and illegal.
Well, do you think it's time to pull out now? And if not now, when?
You know, practically speaking, the idea of immediate withdrawal doesn't translate into something that would actually occur. I think we could decide to withdraw within a six-month period, a year, 18 months. All of those are feasible, but technical practicalities put this into the future. Given that, I think that we can do all that needs to be done positively within the next 12 to 15 months, and our aim should be to withdraw beginning now with the announcement of a timeline for withdrawal.
When you say do what needs to be done, do you mean just logistically in terms of pulling out, or do you mean accomplish what we need to accomplish in Iraq before we pull out?
Logistically, the requirements are much shorter. If we had to leave and we wanted to leave safely and at a not too hurried pace, that could be accomplished in 6 months. But I think we need to think about withdrawal as providing leverage for positive change. It is a way of transforming the political calculus of all the actors in the area. We should use that to help stabilize the situation and reduce the possibility of increased conflict once we leave.
Well, give me an example of how you think we can use a deadline as leverage.
Well, one thing that we can see in the Sunni areas, although the administration and General Petraeus have been able to bring in some of the tribal elements and some of the Sunni insurgents in an effort to isolate al-Qaeda in Iraq, others continue to resist, including the largest of the insurgent organizations. They have been in conversations with commanders on the ground, our commanders, and again they return to the simple point that they cannot and will not cooperate with the United States until it is clear to them that we are leaving. So that's one very important objective, would be to bring them into the fold, but it requires a clear timeline for withdrawal, something that is credible.
Are you concerned that if the United States pulls out in a year or a year and a half, that Iraq will end up in a civil war?
Iraq's already involved in pretty substantial civil conflict, and though we've been able to reduce some types of violence over the past year, I think our present stance is really not sustainable, and it doesn't fundamentally change the opposition in Iraq. In fact, what we find ourselves doing today is arming one side while simultaneously supporting the other. That's really not a solution. It's not a long-term solution. If we left precipitously, I think there's no doubt in my mind that there would be a surge in violence. How bad it would be is impossible to say. We need to make provisions to reduce that probability, and I think that requires us to reach out to other actors in the region. What we lack in Iraq is a ground legitimacy. We don't have the power to move the people that need it to be moved. The most powerful man in Iraq, Ayatollah Sistani, will not speak to us. We need to bring in other actors, and that requires reaching out across the borders to all of the frontline states and to involve them more substantially in the future. They have a stake. They do not want to see Iraq fragment, and they do not want to see a civil war which might portend regional conflict. So we need to use the lever of our leaving to bring in other actors and hopefully to play a more positive role than they have in the past.
Do you think the surge has been effective? And if so, how should we capitalize on it?
I think that the surge has been effective to the extent that all of us are now talking about the surge, as though the addition of a small percentage of additional troops transformed the situation there. I think what has been effective has been the decision to reach out to local Sunni authorities, tribal authorities, to bring them into the fold. It's required devolving authority to them. In fact, we are paying and arming them. That brought them into the fold and dramatically reduced violence in Anbar province. And we've also successfully pushed Muqtada al-Sadr into adopting a truce. I think these were the two principal things that reduced violence in the area. Beyond that, however, I think the surge is a stopgap measure. We cannot sustain troop levels. And at any rate, what we have not done is transform the situation there fundamentally. This is not the first surge. We've had a number of surges in the past, and in every case, the decision to increase and concentrate troops always brings about a temporary recession in violence. But it has not, and it will not, bring about a fundamental change in the society, which is what we're talking about.
One of the goals of the surge was to create a stable environment so that the political process could move forward. Do you think that the political process has been moving forward in a meaningful way?
I don't think we've seen substantial progress, and I think what we are seeing presently is cosmetic progress. Within the past week, the change in the law regarding de-bathification has finally been adopted by the parliament there. This law has been kicking around for some time, and the objective was to induce Sunnis to see the new order as more inviting to them. But the de-bathification change, it's too late and it's too little. And I think that characterizes most of the progress that we've seen, that in fact we are not yet at a point where any of the principal actors feel compelled to be realistic. We are a shield. Our presence there is a shield against realism.
So what you want to do, what you recommend doing, is giving the Iraqis a deadline saying, this is when we're withdrawing, so get your act together. If we did that, if we followed your plan, what, if any, kind of military presence do you think the United States should leave behind?
I think our presence should be, our long-term presence should be a minimal one. It should be embedded in a different multinational arrangement, one that is centered on a UN mission and involving, for the most part, Arab and Muslim forces. There's already several proposals to do this. We've been able in the past, we did in the first Persian Gulf War, pull together a fairly large contingent of Arab forces. Within that context, I think the United States and others, other members of NATO, perhaps even Russia, could play a role in training and in helping the Iraqis develop the logistics structure they need. But I think our footprint should be quite small, in the range of a few thousand troops, and those also required to protect our embassy. And that the most important thing is that the context be not a U.S. mission, but a mission that is more broadly based and hopefully viewed both in Iraq and in the region as having greater legitimacy.
Could we talk about logistical considerations for a moment? What
Sure.
would be the most difficult parts of withdrawing the troops and the tanks and other equipment that we have in Iraq?
Well, the most difficult circumstance would be a withdrawal under fire. We would hope, and I think an objective would be to use the announcement of withdrawal and prior negotiations around withdrawal as a way of bringing as many insurgents into a truce as possible, so that they, rather than impede, they facilitate a safe withdrawal of U.S. forces. So that's not a logistics consideration, but it's what's got to concern us the most. The second concern is what is the immediate objective? I think the immediate objective is to move our forces over the border. If we think about how long will it take to bring them home to the United States, that's longer than 6 months. But the key thing is to move them over the border. And then what do we move? Clearly, troops. Clearly, armored vehicles, ammunition stores. Do we need to move everything? Well, presently, we have a stockpile of 2.7 million candy bars. I can think of much better uses than shipping them back home. Moving the number of vehicles that we have, about 45,000, driving them down out of Iraq into Kuwait will create traffic jams. It's important to secure those routes and to do this in a phased fashion. What we don't want to do is to have a long line of vehicles vulnerable to fire for a long period of time. So we leave in bursts, and that might mean trying to pull out perhaps two brigades a month would be feasible. Presently, we rotate about the equivalent of one brigade a month. So this is not too much more than what we're already doing.
Carl Canetta, thank you very much for talking with us.
It's been my pleasure.
Carl Canetta is the co-director of the Project on Defense Alternatives.